Welcome, everyone, to episode 25 of Bridge City. This is the official last season, last podcast of the season for us.
It's the last season. Yeah, see you later.
Yeah, last season. This is the officially, this is our last episode for the season. I dare say, as any major news or anything breaks in the off season, Sam, we'll jump on and do a podcast or two in the off season. But as far as the season is concerned, it's all over for Brisbane. So this is it. We made it to 25 episodes for the first season.
I'm stoked. It's probably more games than I could make of actually playing soccer.
Yeah, I think we've done really well considering I normally start something like this and give up after one or two goes. So, look, mate. We've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to do our best version of a bit of a season recap. What are we going to do? We're going to give our player ratings for the season. And then, Sam, you've actually got our player ratings that we gave in the mid-season review.
Yep.
So we're going to compare our numbers at the end of the season to how they stacked up halfway through the season when we were going through the midst of all of the turmoil in the middle of the year. I think we might kick things off by talking about the game against Adelaide. We missed doing the podcast last week, mate. And then once we've had a chat about that game, then we'll move into the player ratings, the ratings for the club overall, I guess. We'll have a chat about that. And then we can have a look ahead to next season. Signings, rumors, transfers, all of the rest of it, and possibly talk of some decent interviews coming up for Bridge City as well.
Yeah, hopefully we can, in the off-season, hook up some interviews. So I don't know whether we'll post them straight away or whether we'll save them for like a lead into the to next season. But we'll figure that one out as we go along. But I do have a few people that have said yes, so we've got more than one, which is
we might drop a couple of clues later on in the episode. So stay tuned to the end, guys. Also, Sam, we did get a couple of viewer questions and comments, listener questions and comments on Twitter for the final episode of the season. So we'll get to them at the very end as well. And we're actually going to be putting this episode up on YouTube as well. So when we go through everyone's comments, we'll like leave your Twitter handles and everything on the screen for that. If you are listening to this on a normal podcast audio platform and you want to watch on the YouTube, you want to watch this on YouTube, we'll leave a link down in the description below to the YouTube channel. And just so you guys are aware, our Matty Mackay interview is up on YouTube as well. So you can jump on and check that out. All right, mate, let's get into it. Let's have a chat about the Adelaide game. Yes, we do. We do have to. We almost made it happen.
Oh, right, man. Yeah. I was really, really enjoying watching this game. It was, as it has been over the last few, like probably 8 weeks, I've really, really enjoyed watching us play.
Yep.
Even if we're losing, I've still been enjoying it because we're heading in the right direction. And we weren't, like, as crap as we may think that we went throughout the year, we were still in touch with the top six. So it wasn't a complete disaster. So seeing this game go the way it did didn't really hurt me too much. It was actually more of a, next year, that's the platform.
Yeah. I agree. I think there was still some pretty frustrating things in the game. I think the boys probably, they were well aware that it was probably a certain few players' final game for the club, and they probably wanted to go out there and give it their all. We could probably talk about that straight off the bat, actually. We mentioned at the end of last week's episode, or 2 weeks ago, whenever the last episode was.
Our last episode, yeah.
Our last episode. We did mention a couple of those rumors that were going around, and at the end of that game, Tom Aldred did actually confirm that he's leaving the club. It hasn't been confirmed by the club yet, but he confirmed it on the interview with Paramount. Which kind of sucks. Like, I would have liked him to have had a decent send off. It's just a little, it's pretty poor. Like, I'm not sure what happened with the club, if there was a breakdown between the club and Aldred or what in the end. But I think he deserved, like a better send off than basically that's it. Like, some people tune in next season and be like, hey, where's Aldred?
Yeah, they honestly will. It'll be like that.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
think that'll be like that for a lot of players on their team. It'll be a lot of people will be like, "Oh, where's that guy? Oh, where's that guy?
I think
Who's this guy?"
he's one of those players who deserved a better send off than just
Definitely.
go out quietly. He's been captain since he got here like 5 years ago. So anyway, that's one of the rumors that has been confirmed by him, not by the club yet. As far as we know, it might have been done in the last 5 minutes.
I'm literally jumping on our website. Just have a look.
But that game, mate, I just jumped on and watched the highlights before while I was waiting for you to jump on. And that goal that we scored in the first couple of minutes from Hoare, like, it was two passes and that was it. It was like, yeah, I don't know if it's like if the passes were that good from O'Shea and Berenguer, or if Adelaide were just pretty that poor. They have had a
Could have
pretty
been, yeah.
porous defense this season. But yeah, it was beautiful play. Like, just one pass up the guts from the 18-yard box, just outside the 18-yard box from O'Shea to Berenguer, who got the ball turned, passed to Hoare, and Hoare just ran and
Not
scored.
just that step inside and score, yeah.
Does what he
Which
does, mate.
he does. I feel like that's his signature move. He loves the bring them to the 18-yard box, step back inside, and have a ping. He does it so much.
Yeah, it's effective.
And it's, yeah, very, very effective.
We've talked about before, like, how good he is in, once he gets inside that 18-yard box. Like,
Oh,
if I
yeah.
was an opposition player, I would defend up and I see Henry Hoare anywhere near the 18-yard box, I'm on him. But
Stick to him like glue.
we've talked about it
Yeah,
before. He's so.
I actually I will sort of have a look over a few games, in the off season and have a little breakdown of each player because I really don't see him as a fast player
No,
either.
he's not. No,
But
no.
just the swiftness of his feet just must really, really, yeah, get in front of them because, man, watching that you're like that's so easy to defend and then you're like, well. They're better than me, so
Oh, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. Our friend of the podcast, Richard, mentioned that Henry Hoare really reminds him of Peter Beardsley, and that for me that's a spot on comparison. Like, just really quick between the ears, like not as quick on his feet. In terms of pace, like, he's good with the ball at his feet, but he's just really smart and plays really well
He's
positionally.
an
And
old head on him. Yeah.
and then from there it was the Hiroshi Ibusuki show for about the next 40 minutes or so.
He's so good, eh?
And he's one of those players, mate. Like, basically, we recorded that last episode with the little couple of tidbits that have been floating around on Twitter, and then like the next day, all of these rumors and like signing news and stuff all starts flying. So Hiroshi Ibusuki is one of the apparent targets of Brisbane Roar, and apparently, if I remember reading Marco's piece correctly, that Zach Anderson, I think, has even like had a meeting with
Oh,
Ibusuki's agent.
sweet. Nice. So like
So
it's not just rumors. Like they've actually possibly been talking. Fuck yeah.
and they actually
Nice.
they asked him at the end of the at the in the postseason
Yeah, I
interview,
didn't
they
see
asked
that.
him whether he it was staying with the club or not, and he didn't give an answer, yes or no. So he's one of the targets. We'll get to a couple of the others at the end of the episode, mate. But he was great. Like, it's almost like he was trying to put on a show for his potential new club, but he's had a really good season. I think
I
he
love watching him play. So, if he can stay in the A League at least, it's good for the A League. So,
Yeah, I agree with that, mate. He's a top striker. I think like, you just saw that first goal that he scored where I can't remember who it was. It might have been Zach Clough, I think, that put the ball in, just put the ball in the
yeah,
spot,
that
you know?
cross, yeah.
Yeah, like it, and it just landed in that little no man's land between the keeper and the penalty spot, and Ibasuki just slid through and got a little glancing nick on it, and it went like a real striker's goal, like a poacher, real poacher's goal.
Poachers, yeah.
Yeah. And then, so Ibasuki got those two goals. And then not long after his second goal, fucking Stefan Mork puts the ball in the back of the net and celebrates in front of the den like the bloody knob that he is.
You knob.
Yeah, he's good value. Like, he's a great player.
Love him, but don't like him versing us.
Yeah, I really wish that he had worked out when he was at Brisbane, because he's the kind of midfielder that we need, and that we needed back then as well. Proper box to box midfielder that can score a goal. I was filthy with him for that celebration in front of the den. Like, what an asshole. And then what happened from there? And then they get their fourth goal from another potential raw target in Henry van der Sar.
Yep.
A young defender pinged one in from inside the 18-yard box, and we were looking like it was going to be about another 8 or 9 goal route at that point.
Felt like it anyway.
Yeah. Just really, really weird, like the way that game ebbed and flowed. And, you know, we were scored that early goal, and then Adelaide were just like on top for the next, 70 minutes?
And it wasn't like it was it wasn't like we were letting them get on top of us. Like, they were on top.
Mm.
But, we managed to sort of withstand that little bit of pressure and get that possession back up. We just couldn't finish. Was it again? Like, we get it to that 18-yard box and we go, don't know.
Yeah.
just turn into a Mighty Boosh character.
It proves the point, you know, that we do need a striker. Where did we start that game again? We had Paul, Miller, Yuzhnich, Berenguer. Who else? We had like four midfielders playing up front. And
yeah, it was. I'm trying to find lineups.
It was the old
Berenguer and Hoare up front, then Gilroy, Gamulka, O'Shea, Miller, Yuzhnich in behind them. So had six midfielders.
All of the midfielders. Yeah.
Yeah. And then on the bench, we had Markovsky, Waddingham, and Nikolovsky all sitting on
Majok.
The bench. No Majok.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Had those boys sort of sitting there ready to sort of inject themselves. And, like, you brought on Markovsky and who do you have? Lofthouse, Brownlee.
Waddingham.
Zabala didn't have the Zabala effect he usually does. But it was pretty tame.
The first game for Waddingham since all of the rumors started swirling around. And I really think, like, just like seeing him react after his goal, and then after Henry Hoare's goal. Like, his reaction, I don't know, like, it's really hard when you're watching on TV or, you know. He seemed like he's got a bit more of a pep in his step. I was thinking to myself, does he know that he signed something, like, pretty significant? Or is he just, you know, like, stoked on the fact that Ange Postecoglou is potentially after him, you know? Like,
yeah.
But that goal that he scored... That goal that he scored, that was, dare I say, Viduka-esque.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That.
Well, I think they even said something on the commentary that they were, it was like, oh, there's a bit of Viduka in that. But, go on.
I was just going to say, it was a great, you know, turn and hit on the volley on the left foot. Like, awesome striker's goal. So, the game finished up 4-3 in the end. Waddingham got that header right at the death, straight onto the crossbar. Could have been 4-4. Would have been a really good way to finish the season.
Oh, shit, yeah.
But,
broke my heart. You know, broke my heart.
Not to be, mate. well, look, we can't really spend too much time breaking that game down. It was pretty much almost a carbon copy of the last 5 or 6 weeks.
It was. Yeah, because, again, I think the stats were, like, massively in our favour again.
Yeah, 60%
possession.
Were
20-plus? Yeah. And, like, 20-plus shots?
Yeah, I think it was, like, 18 shots.
Yeah, far out.
We had eight corners.
Oh, so 16, apparently. 16 shots. 5 on target. They had 10 shots and 7 on target.
Yeah.
Like, the game could have been so much more. But yeah, friggin' 60% possession with 600 passes to their 427.
They had like 400 something. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Just need to start making use of that possession, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so hopefully in the offseason, you know, Zadkovic can bring some players in and make it happen. Well, mate,
we've had a fair few little signings, so.
Yeah, we'll talk about them at the end, mate.
Yep.
Let's jump into. Have you got the squad list there?
Yeah. For what, the last game or?
Oh, just no for the. Oh, like player the,
yes, yeah, just the full squad. Yeah, from the Brisbane Roar website. We'll go again.
Yeah, mate.
So we've got Macklem Freak as number one. Has Matt Acton changed numbers? He's number 29 on here.
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like he was lower than that. All right, so Macklem Freak, number one.
So we're player giving ratings out of 5, aren't we?
Yep, ratings out of 5.
5 out of 5 for Macklem Freak.
Set the tone.
Yeah.
So we had him at a 4 mid-season. And, yeah, he's definitely elevated himself up to being, pretty much the most important person that's on our team at the moment.
Yeah.
So
he swept the awards night the other night, player of the season, players player, all of that. So yeah, 5 out of 5 season for Macklin.
Perfection. All right, Matt Acton. He couldn't show us anything more, so I don't have him down as anything at the moment. But it's good to see that he's re-signed with us because honestly we need depth like that. Although he got that poor game where he got smashed, but we need depth like that behind our main keeper. So someone that's played and someone that knows our team, and it's really good to see.
Shows
all right, Corey Brown.
Who's Corey?
Yep, Corey Brown.
I
feel like he improved from middle of the year, but he still gets found out by the faster.
I'm going to go 3.5.
3.5? I was going to go 3. So I think we've kept with the same as before.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan, we didn't see, so didn't skip Dylan. Jackie Hingett. He's another one that sort of like just shows his class and then just shows his age, unfortunately, at the same time.
Yeah.
I had him at a 4, and I think I've got to bring him back to sort of a 3 even.
I've got him as a 3.
Yeah. All right.
3, yeah.
So we had him at a 3.5, and I think I don't think he's gotten any worse. I just think that his age was shining through towards the end of the season there.
Yeah, he's had a couple of pretty major injuries as well that have slowed him down a fair bit. So, yeah, I think a 3.
Now, the man off the bench, James Nikolovsky.
Oh, it's hard.
You go.
I was going to say he's hardly played any games, so I mean, I'd probably give
off
him a 3.5.
Off the bench, he's done his job. Yeah, off the bench, he's done his job.
Yeah.
So I had him at a 3. So if you go 3.5,
yep.
So you've kept him at the same, and he's just dropped down the order in mine because he's just played less. That's all it is, really. Kai Truan is the next person. He's just K Truan on here, so doesn't get a first name.
I'm going to go solid 4 for Kai Truan.
Yep, solid 4 for True. Yep, nice. Starting to show that he's got a bit of confidence as well. So I'm liking that because I don't know how old he is, but
he's young.
See if it says it on here.
He's like 22.
22. Yep, yeah. 22. So, I mean, if he can gain some confidence over the next couple of years, I mean, he's going to be very, very powerful.
Well, he's 22 and he's almost got his 100 A-League appearances, so that's incredible. Yeah.
Incredible. And he plays international. Like, good on him. Like, man, you're doing so well. Now, Scott Neville. Scott Neville, I didn't even notice really towards the end of
Oh.
the season, which is kind of a bit sad. He has been
Oh,
out.
he's been injured for the last 8 and 9 weeks.
Yeah.
Up until that point, I probably would have given him a 3.5.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
But
And as I've said before, I think that he and Aldred together make each other look better as well.
definitely, yeah. Yeah, they work perfectly with each other. They know each other's game inside and out, and it shows. Aldred is the next one. So Aldred, he was doing much better towards the end there. So I had him up to a 4. And then when he plays up front, he's a 2. So I don't know if that was like a coach directive thing, or whether that was just Aldred saying, "No, stuff you. I'm coming to the end. I really want to try and make something happen." And so he was just trying his best in any situation. So I had him at a 4. What did you have him at?
To be honest, I'll probably give him a 3 to end the season, and I think I gave him a 2. Did I?
Yeah. So he was a 2.5 for you. So he's moved up for both of us. So. All right, Bert Gilroy is the next one.
I would give. I'm going to give Gilroy 4.
4, yep. So both give him a 4. So I had him at a 3.5, and you had him at a 4. So he stayed sort of bang on for you, but yeah, for me, I think he's improved. Whether it's probably just the fact that he's actually been playing in the midfield makes a big difference. All right, Majok is the next one. So I haven't really seen anything more of him. So I've stuck with the. I probably actually probably improved my thoughts on him. Actually, I'd probably say that he was doing his job quite well. So I'd probably say 3, 3.5 for him.
2 for me.
2 still, yep.
Yep.
Berenguer, he was a bit disappointing for me towards the end of the season. I feel like he didn't sort of inject himself as much as he should. He was still great when he gets on the ball, but I didn't feel like he was imposing. Didn't feel like he got to the ball as much as he should have. I feel like Henry Hoare was more integral in that middle of the field than what he was. So I said that Berenguer was a 3 because he was doing his job, but just nothing more than that.
I give him 3.5.
Cool. Now, Henry, you had him at a 4.75, and I think that's where I'm going to put him too. Like, he still has little things that he needs to improve on, but he's, yeah, by far and away the most integral person in the middle of the field for us at the moment.
Yeah, I'm
If Jay O'Shea's out, it's just Henry Hoare. That's the only person that's running the place. Whereas, yeah, when Jay O'Shea's in, it's beautiful. And
Yeah, that's
if Joe
fair.
Galetti comes back, oh.
4.75, did we both give him?
4.75. Next one is O'Shea.
O'Shea, okay.
O'Shea is solid. You're not going to really put him below a 4.5. So, yeah, I
Yep.
think if you could even give him a 5, and I wouldn't even budge at that.
I'm not gonna say that he was a 5. I think a 4.5 is pretty fair. Like he was still running the show from the midfield there, but I don't know, maybe not enough goal involvements for me this season.
Okay. Yeah.
We
Well,
had that
I feel like
many.
he hasn't played up front more. Like, he's been sort of that attacking, I mean, the defending sort of midfielder more than anything. He's sort of played in behind, like Berenguer, or in behind, what's his name? Hoare, if that's his name. All right. Next person, Joe Coletti. We saw sweet fuck all of towards the end there because of that poor bloody injury. But he's re-signed, so I give him an extra 0.5 for that. So I give him 0.5 for but no, I've got nothing for him. Zabala, again, was just coming off the bench, didn't really get to see anything of him. When he came on, I mean, didn't really notice him, unfortunately.
First half of the season, 0 out of 5.
Well, yeah, we had him both at both of him had him at 2, which was underperforming, but still, yeah, he was out of position, and we sort of felt that he was sort of stuck playing that fullback role. Whereas, yeah, this second half of the season, I don't know, probably, yeah, keep him at that too. Feel like he's really underperformed,
Yes.
unfortunately.
Yep.
McNichol is nothing. Lethlean is nothing. Actually, yeah, haven't even seen Lethlean on the bench or anything. Is he injured?
No, he's been playing in the MPL.
Okay, cool. Sweet.
Yep.
At least he's playing. Shea Cahill's another one that will be can't really comment on.
No.
The next one's Kamulka. So Kamulka's been a super sub, coming on and injecting himself into the game. Him and Jelicic, I feel like they could almost start both of them. They'd be probably better than a couple of the players that are out there. But yeah, Gamulka, I've actually enjoyed watching him, so I've actually brought him up from the 2.5 that we had him at to a 3.
Yeah, I'll give him a 3 for the season.
Yeah, 3. Yeah, I think that he's been doing his job, but nothing more.
He's got much more in him. That's the thing. Like
Yeah.
I was
You, yeah,
expecting
his
more
bar's
from
up
him.
here. Yeah,
Yeah.
his bar's up here, but yeah, we're only sort of seeing him do his job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Jelicic was the next person.
I'm gonna
Another
give.
person that, yeah.
I think when we did this early in the season, it was after he got red carded. Like it was the week after his first game and he got red
Yeah.
carded. But I'm going to give him a 4.5.
A 4.5? Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So I had him at a 4, so you got 4.5. So he's improved on both of us.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd honestly, if we could have him starting every freaking week, that'd be amazing. But
Well, yeah. I mean, his loan period is up. So
yeah.
not sure if
We're not.
he's. Yeah, I would
Can I
love the
keep
club to
him?
sign him,
Keep him.
but he'll probably want to stay in Europe. But I mean,
Yeah, I would too.
he makes such a difference. Like he's direct, and he can
Yeah.
actually, as opposed to some certain other players on the team, when he gets the ball at his feet and he takes players on, he can beat them. He doesn't kick it into their legs and think that you have to run through a player.
Yep.
He can actually take players on and beat them with his speed and with his skill and with his smarts. I think he's a great player. And
Oh yeah,
yeah, I
I'd
really
love
hope
to see a lot more of him, but yeah.
yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
And the next one is Marco Rojas. It's a hard one because we just
Yeah.
sort of haven't really seen much of him.
I'd give him a 3.5.
Yeah, but he's performed more than I'd say that Kamulka has when he's been on the field. But yeah, it's just not been around.
They're both playing two different positions as well, though. But when Rojas,
No, but I
he's
mean to
got.
their potential, I mean.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he shows glimpses. Like he's pretty good. But just I don't know what happened to the at the end of the season there. Like whether he was
No, I
injured
don't.
or what, or just
It doesn't say I'm here,
I was a
so.
bit baffled that he didn't have sort of any further.
Yeah, I felt like he would be wanting to, seeing as he's probably moving to a fresh club next year.
Yeah, I was
I thought
really,
he'd
really.
be sort of, yeah, up and about, but don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. We'll have to try and find out what happened there. If anyone knows, let us know. I can't
Yeah,
remember
definitely.
him being on the injured list or anything, but.
No, just the not wanted list, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's just the
Vice.
fact that he's probably not going to be around. Like, is that going to a rival club next year? So,
Well,
is that a real need for
He
him
only signed
to.
a 6-month contract, so they should have, if he was
Yeah.
available to play, they should have played him, as I reckon.
Yeah, I would have anyway. All right. So, next person is Parsons. So,
Two out of five for me.
yeah. Well,
Lucky to get two.
I was staying with my 1.5. You're going with 2. Here, right underneath them.
Nah,
2.
I'll go 1.5.
Yeah, 1.5,
Yeah.
sweet.
He was super disappointing when he
Yeah.
was on.
And he has some good raps too. So like we've seen him perform when we've been shit. So yeah. Outperform people too. Another one that's disappointed, but just purely because we haven't been able to see him is Armiento. Can't really
He hasn't
release it.
played enough.
Yeah, that's what I reckon. Yeah.
Yeah. to give him
So I've just got Dash. No Dash. Jez Lofthouse off the bench. He, I think you may have sort of mentioned him just before. I have him at a one.
Yep.
Severely underperforming for me.
Yep. Yep.
One.
Yep.
Markovsky is the next one. Yep. I like watching Markovsky when he gets on the field. Unfortunately, it's more been through injury that he gets on the field. He doesn't seem to come off the bench too much.
Yeah.
When he comes on, he's a ball of energy. He just, yeah, is generally coming on when we're three goals down and can't really do much. So, and he's someone's been injured. So it's, yeah, I couldn't really rate him, I don't reckon.
Do you reckon we could put a rating on him? I'd probably give him a 3. I mean, I know it's a bit of a cop-out, but 3.5, I think.
Yep. Okay.
I was actually pretty disappointed with all of the managers, really, when it came to Markovsky. Like,
yeah, I like, love watching especially it.
At the end there with Sadjovic, like, why are you playing 4-5 midfielders across the top when you've got, like, Waddingham's...
So true.
Waddingham's unavailable. You've got a striker there. Put him on. Like, yeah. Because he's popped up with goals. He puts himself about. So, yeah.
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 And he's hit the post pretty much every time that he's been out there.
Yeah, he gets himself in good positions.
Yeah. All right. Next person was Milijuznic. Milijuznic has been probably below what we wanted him to be.
Yes.
And well below what his quality is. So I probably have him at a 2.
Yeah, 2
at the
for
end
me.
Of the year.
Yeah.
Brownlee, we can't really talk about.
I will.
Apparently he's been doing quite well. So
he's, yeah. Yeah. When he does come on, he looks fantastic. He was awesome in that last game.
Yeah, the last game's the only thing I've really got to go off. But apparently he's been playing in the NPL as well. When he's not been on our bench, and yeah, apparently tears it up. So
yeah, he looks really good. Gets himself about the field and gets stuck in.
We're on to the last person, which is Waddington. I've even written it down as Waddington.
Waddington forever.
Love it, Waddington. Yeah, 4. Solid 4 for me. He's top scorer for our equal with 2 others. But 6 in your first season is that young. Playing
7
in the A-League. 6 or 7? 7. Maybe 7.
Yeah.
Thought it was 6, but yeah, 7 then. Yeah. Amazing. I mean, you don't see people that young scoring that many, yeah, in men leagues around the place. So it's, yeah, really good to see. I'm really impressed with him. And, of course, people are going to be interested and keen to take him away from us. But hopefully, yeah. If they do, they loan him back so that he can learn his craft a bit more.
Yeah.
Because we need him. We need him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had him as a 4.
Yeah, 4 for me.
Yep.
I think I could, you know, go a bit overboard and maybe go 4.5, but I think it's a really solid 4.
We've seen his best. And I think he's just been that little bit below it. But still performing well. So
I think some of the players, some of the players in their midfield, I don't know if it's the way that they were set up or at training or whatever, but they didn't seem like they really knew what to do with like a proper striker in the middle. I feel like the ball didn't get pinged in anywhere near as much as what it should have.
And when we did ping it in, it was taking it all the way to the byline, like we were saying.
Yeah.
And by that time, everyone's back. So it's useless crossing it in then. But he is that sort of player that, like we saw with Adelaide, you put that ball in early, put it into that little no man's land.
Yeah.
Players like him are going to get onto the end of it. So
yeah, he makes like really similar runs to some of those runs that Ibasuki made in that game that got him a couple of his goals. Like those, yeah, it just depends. Like if you've got players that have got the vision who are sort of out wide, when they get the ball, just put it in, you know, because he makes those last second jinks to shake his defender. He gets in between the defenders and in between the lines, between the, you know, like puts the keeper in two minds. Yeah, like he just causes chaos. So they just got to get the ball into him. But we'll see what happens, mate. So in the off season with him. So that's all of the players, is it, that we've
That's all of them.
traded
So,
for?
yep. So we've gone through all them. I'll have to work out what our averages will be. It'll be probably about the same
We'll
because
put
we've
them
gone
up on
up
the
with some.
screen. We'll put them up on the
Yeah.
screen. And if you are listening to the podcast, you'll just have to go and watch the YouTube version if you want to see
Don't
the
do
player
it.
ratings end of season compared to
And
middle season.
please like and subscribe.
Oh yeah, like and subscribe. Smash the like button.
Smash the like button.
Hit the little bell. Ding, ling, 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 ling. What about the club? What do we give the
Yeah.
club for?
Well, I tell you what, it's not been as noticeable that we're a shambles. That's for sure. So the two boys that are running the show at the moment are doing a very, very good job at keeping people sort of away from the fact that we've had problems in the past. They've been very good at sort of keeping it in the now. Focusing on what's coming. It's not all doom and gloom. So I've actually been quite impressed this year. There's certainly been things that have been a bit frustrating, but I think as a performance, seeing as we went through a record amount of coaches, we had a bunch of injuries, which always hinders a season. But as a whole, I think the whole Brisbane Roar as a collective has outperformed my original thinking that we would. I really thought that we were going to be cellar dwellers, so it was really exciting at the start of the season seeing us play well. And the fact that we haven't had shit happen this year that's really other than the coaches. So it's not been numbers falling off jerseys and people not getting paid and all that sort of stuff. It's
Gonna stop you right there. There were
yeah.
numbers falling off
Oh
jerseys in
yes, there
a few
was. Yeah, that
games.
one match for those jerseys.
Yeah.
Yes, there was those
That
ones,
happened
wasn't
in
it?
the
But
last game
yeah.
as well.
Oh, it did happen in the last game. I wonder if it's that jersey. I wonder if that jersey can't hold the numbers. Because it's because it was the same jersey the 2 weeks in a row, wasn't it? That black jersey, yeah. So I wonder if it's like something to do with that black jersey just can't hold the type of numbers that they keep putting onto them. But I don't know why they're not printed on. I mean, they're not going to reuse the jersey, are they? Just print them on. It's very odd that they're not printed on. Come on, New
Stitch them on.
Balance, get onto it. Yeah, stitch them on. Go old school.
I probably would have been inclined to give the club a two midway through the season, and now I'm somewhere between a two and a half and a three.
Yeah, see, I'm 3.5 because
Yeah.
same sort of thing. They've gone above what my shitty expectation of them was.
Yeah, the start of the season exceeded expectations, and then it kind of all fell apart. And I don't know, it's just same old shit for me. So, but I personally think that Zach and Kaz have still got a lot to do to prove to me that things are getting better. And the things are only going to get harder. Like there was the news that dropped today
Oh,
about
yeah.
funding being cut from the APL to all of the clubs. So they're already running on the sniff of an oily rag. So we'll see. Well, what else can we talk about? Let's have a quick chat about while we're talking about the club and everything. Let's have a quick chat about maybe what do we think the club can do to bring members on board. We kind of had this discussion at the start of the season.
Yep.
I think maybe in our very first episode we talked about this kind of stuff.
I think they've started to do the sort of things that are going to bring members in. We've been following the same model as what the Broncos and the Dolphins have been using, which are these memberships that are just two, three games. So they're not trying to get people to overcommit to a full membership, which costs $500 or whatever, Which they wouldn't. It'd probably only be like $300 for a full one. But yeah, they're just trying to get those people in to commit for two games, three games. So it's, yeah, they're very clever with that sort of thing. I've noticed that. I don't know if other clubs are doing that because I don't focus on other clubs, but I really, really love that that's something that they've started to do because it does. It worked for the Broncos. Like Kristen and I were, we dropped back to a three game membership, and then this year we've gone to a full membership again. It's and then the same thing will happen with Brisbane Roar. We'll go from an away membership to being probably a three or four game membership next year. It's yeah, so it's a good way to build people into to coming to more and more games. And I think that's been one of the things that I've really noticed that's yeah been good. But the way that they handled the schmozzle that happened with the police as well. That was classy. I felt like they were straight on top of that. Really, yeah, got to sort of see everything that was happening with that as well. It wasn't shut away from us. Yeah, but yeah, I think the things they need to do are just purely get down to local clubs. That's it. That's all it is. It's not about, yeah, it's not about trying to get members. It's not about trying to get people to come to the games. It's just trying to get supporters.
Yeah,
Watch
I
us.
think we've
Watch us on
spoken,
this. Watch
we've,
us. Don't
yeah.
need to come to games. Watch us.
And
Yeah.
we've spoken about this before, and I think like Brisbane and all of the clubs, and definitely 1,000% the people who are running the league and the game in the country,
Yeah.
especially with the A-League, they need to stop trying to market and get people who aren't football fans. Like they constantly feels like they want to try and go after this. Like they want to try and convert rugby league and AFL and cricket fans and netball fans to become football fans. It's like we're the number one participation sport in the country. There's a fuckload of fans out there.
Convert them. Yeah.
Bring them in. Like you don't need to convert them, you know? Like
No.
bring real football people in. Like get football people coming to games. And for me, like I think there's a lot of things that they can do. It's horrible to watch games, you know, especially when you watch them on telly and Suncorp Stadium's
Yeah.
empty. I mean, we've
Does
spoken
suck.
before. We love Suncorp Stadium.
Yeah.
We've
Best
got
stadium that I've ever been to. So
lots of,
yeah,
yeah,
it's
lots of fond memories from over the years of, you know, like Brisbane and Queensland Roar games with well in excess of 20,000 people at mid-season games. So there is the market there. I think they need to be doing things that might, you know, like create a, I don't know, like short-term pain for long-term gain. Like first game of next season, I mean, the double whammy would be for us to have an amazing marquee. That's probably not
Yeah.
going to happen, right? Like, but let's just say, I don't even know who a marquee, who a suitable marquee would be because I haven't really watched too much, you know, like
No.
Premier League and Bundesliga and stuff for the last few years. So I'm not sure who a big name would be these days, but a big name, first game of the season, any registered junior gets in for free with a paying adult.
Yep. That's what they used to do at Strikers.
Yeah.
You'd get 15, 16,000 people to a Strikers game
And
for
those,
it.
you get your reps, you get your volunteers, whatever, to go to every club in Brisbane's
Yep.
Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast, every
We've got a big
Tuesday,
reach. That's, yeah.
Thursday, Friday, you go and you take a shitload of flyers or something with you, and you say, you know, if you're registered, you guys get in, you know, your kids get in for free at the first game of the season or the first three games of the season or something.
Yep.
It's got to be done. Like they've got to start thinking outside the box. Like, because if you get, I don't know, like out of that catchment of people, like if you ask, I don't know, if you ask 10,000 people, like you're probably going to get maybe an extra maybe 500 people that'll turn up,
Yeah.
on top of what you're already getting. Like I
It's a numbers
just
game. It's always been a numbers game. Yeah.
don't see a downside to this kind of thing, and this is what will get kids involved, and then they'll want a Roar jersey for Christmas, and they'll want
Yeah.
the shorts for.
All you need to do is create that memory.
Yeah.
That's the thing. The thing that you, as a child, that's what you associate with is that core memory of I went to this game with mum and dad, or I went to this game with Uncle Pete, and it was amazing. I got to watch these players, and Waddington, we could have children 10 years from now going, I was at that game that I've got to watch him in his second season. There's, yeah, those little memories things is what hooks people for life. And it's the same with any sport. You could go down and watch the NRL like I did with my nephews. I took them to their first NRL game and they were hooked. They couldn't give a shit about sport before then. And they were absolutely hooked after that.
Well, I
And
mean,
Parker's the
even
same. So.
I remember you saying after that, I was at a game earlier this season where you took Parker to the Roar and then he was on the train home singing, like doing the Brisbane chant.
Yep, he does,
He's
and he still does. The when it comes on TV, he gets very confused as to which one is Brisbane Roar and which one is Broncos. So he'll sometimes chant Broncos, but he will, yeah, he will literally recognize the jersey now. He recognizes everything, and when it comes on, he knows what's going on now, and it's become a part of his, yeah, part of his memory is, yeah, I went to that game. I remember that. That was fun. And now is, yeah, now every time it's on TV, it's like, oh, when are we going again? So sweet, awesome, whenever, let's go.
Yeah, I fully reckon they've got to start doing that. Like, first for me, first game of the season, do it for the first game of the season. Like, just get as many people there for that first game as you can.
And I know there is probably that sort of double-edged sort of it where you do that and then no one shows up and you're sort of like, well, fuck, what do we do now?
Do it again.
If we can't, if we, yeah, but that's what I mean. If they, the way that, yeah, do they do it for free and then get shit numbers and then it's sort of like, oh crap, what actually is our problem then? Yeah. So that I think that's sort of the risk that they will be running is you could run it all for free for the first few weeks and the numbers might increase. But if they don't increase, then you're sort of like, well, have we dug ourselves into a further hole?
But for me, things like that, like they could spend bugger all advertising for it on Instagram and
Oh
TikTok
yeah,
and Facebook.
doesn't take much.
No, and you know, they could maybe not have to put a couple of billboards up, and that couple of $100,000 that they're spending on, or you know, like probably at least 20 to 30, 50 grand that they're spending on billboards or whatever, put that
Yeah.
into, you know, like some Facebook targeted advertising for free juniors, registered juniors, you
Yeah.
know, like free entry.
Especially around registration time. Get people to go down to clubs. Get I'm sure there's 1,000 volunteers that would be keen to put on a Raw Polo, have a bunch of flyers and be able to take people's details. At your local club you'd be able to find someone that does that. It'd be so easily done. I mean, I would happily go and do it for 3 or 4 weekends over that registration period where you're advertising. You're saying, hi, how's it going? You're registering today. Make sure that you go onto the website here and register yourselves so that you can get your free Raw membership. Yeah. I mean, yeah, get the children, indoctrinate them.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Well, look, what else we got left to talk about, mate? Well, we've got some signing news and some rumors and stuff to have a chat about. So, we touched on a couple of them there in the chat about the Adelaide game and a couple of things after that. So, Aldred has confirmed that he's leaving.
Yes.
And it looks like they were talking about it in the game. It looks like it's all but confirmed that Trueman will be leaving and more than likely going
Yeah.
to Melbourne City.
City, yep. Yeah.
Joe
At
said Joe
least he's
Coletti.
staying in there.
Joe
Joe
Coletti's
Coletti
ex
signed a 1 year deal. Jack Hinget extended for another year. Bert Gilroy signed for another year. Freek signed for 2 years.
Yep.
And
Acton.
Acton. Yeah, Matt Acton signed for 1 year. And that's all I've got on here. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that's all of the extensions. And for me, like it's a little bit worrying that players are only signing. I mean, when it comes to Hingett,
Yeah.
that's understandable. But for
Yeah.
me, I would have liked to a younger players like Coletti and Gilroy are
Yeah, I
probably
would have loved to have seen multi-year deals for
would have
them.
liked to have got them on longer deals than that. So what have we got left? The rumors are potentially it looks like Milivojevic and Armiento could be going to Adelaide. And then yeah, we talked about it. It looks like the rumors are that Ibasuki, Ben
I've seen a
Wolland,
bit more about that as well, so.
Ibasuki, Ben Wolland, and Henry van der Sar from Adelaide, two of whom scored in the game against us, are potentially coming to Brisbane. So, yeah, I mean, there's obviously a big hole at the back now with Aldred gone. So, I don't think, yeah, I think we need a slightly higher caliber player than Ben Wallen to come in and replace Aldred, I think.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
So I think that's about it for the news on that kind of front at the moment. I haven't really heard too many more grumbles. We do have, let me just get my Twitter open. We do have some questions that from some of the listeners that that could sort of like pertain to this
Uh-oh.
stuff. One of the questions, this is a comment from Jacob. If I see a
Quality.
Milly Usenich re-signing post in the next few days, what alcohol would you recommend that is best to drown my sorrows?
cheap. Cheap alcohol, mate.
Yeah, I don't know. Drowning your sorrows after poor football news. I don't know. You just
It's passion pop.
whatever gets you shit face and full of regret.
That's it. Gin. Just, yeah, stay away from the gin.
I'd probably just go with good scotch. This is an interesting question. This is from Ross Ball Forever, Wriggle Nicholas.
Ross
He
Ball forever.
says, in a hypothetical scenario, where do we finish if Ross stays? Would be interested to hear your season ratings for the new management as well. So first part, in a hypothetical scenario, where do we finish if Ross stays?
I felt like we were on an upward trajectory then. I've really think we were like top four contenders. Like it
I think
really,
so.
really felt we were heading that direction. Like and I got excited. And literally the week that I was starting to believe fucked off us. I was really having a conversation with one of my mates about it, and I was like, I'm really feeling it this year. Like it's looking good. Like I don't see us dropping out of the top six, and then bam.
I probably looking back on it, like I think we were looking like we were definitely assured finals football. But having said that, like there was, that Wellington game for me was a real sort of canary in the gold mine. The fact that the team capitulated so easily and Ross didn't really seem to have an
Didn't
answer.
react.
Yeah, didn't react. So yeah, I would have thought with the start to the season that we'd had, and then, I mean, who's to know? Like, would players like Rojas have come in mid-season, if Ross had
True.
stayed? Would the fact that if we were potentially playing better and further up the ladder, could that have maybe sweetened the deal to bring some more slightly higher quality players in the January transfer? So, yeah, we'll never really know, but I think if Ross had stayed, I don't see us not finishing in the top six for sure.
I was full of confidence. I was so excited. I'd bought in.
The second part of his question, is I think we've kind of answered it already when we sort of spoke about the club ratings. When he said be interested to hear season ratings for the new management. Yeah, we've kind of answered that already.
Whoever the
Next one.
defensive coach is, they definitely needs to watch back the what last 6 weeks and
Who's
just
that for?
replicate the defensive coach.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever our defensive coach is needs to watch back those last 6 weeks and just figure out Yeah. Why we kept leaking goals, really.
Yeah.
But that's literally my only downward part for the managers. I feel like they did really well.
Another Nick, so totally Nick on Twitter,
So totally, Nick.
says, not a question, but keep it up, lads. Love the pod. So thank you very much for that, Nick.
No problem.
And from the A-League Times, they ask your wish list for signings in the summer by position.
My position. Ooh. Who
So
would you say?
yeah, this is really hard for me. Like I said, mate, I haven't really been paying much attention to much overseas
Yeah,
football.
that's it. It'd be only really players that were in and amongst the A League of those players that I'd love, because yeah, I know nothing of anyone overseas.
But I did have a, like, because obviously I've got the Twitter account, so I did see that question come
Yeah.
through a while ago, and I had to think about it, and I was like, I'm not sure in terms of like a wish list in terms of players, but I think a couple of the clubs have kind of shown us a bit of the blueprint as to what to do, and Brisbane even were kind of like pioneers of this in the Ange era, is that there are players that come from a decent standard overseas who aren't necessarily big names, who aren't necessarily playing in like the top five or six clubs in their country,
Yeah.
but they're players who play at a really decent level in possibly the lower half of the top division or in the second league, say, and you know, like players players that have come over here and done really well recently in the last couple of years. You've got Valer Germain,
Yeah.
at MacArthur, who has played 300 something games in league for AS Monaco and whole bunch of other teams. You've got Oscar Zavada,
He's the
who,
only player that I really want at the moment.
well, we didn't touch on him. He is actually one of the other
He's
rumors as
rumored,
well.
isn't he? Yeah, that's
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
yeah. Oh man, I would wet myself.
It'll be very lovely having him and Waddington
Oh
fucking
yeah.
attacking. Oh.
But who else? So we've got you got at the moment you've got players like De Silva at MacArthur. I mean, not De Silva, man.
Deville.
How have I forgotten his name? Mexican genius in the middle for MacArthur. Anyway, holy moly, I can't believe I've forgotten his name.
That's right. I clicked on Western United when I wanted to go into MacArthur. So,
Who else?
will you
You've
get there
got
before me?
Joe Lolley from Sydney.
Oh,
You know, like
such shit.
he absolutely kills it for Sydney, and he comes from like, you know, like,
The Silver.
no, not De
Is that
Silva.
who you're thinking of?
Lolley. No.
Oh.
Oh, come on. Number 10 for MacArthur.
I don't know. He's not even on there. Oh, there he is. Davila. Yeah, I said Davila before. Yeah.
Davila, yeah, Davia, yeah.
Davila.
Yeah, so you got him who's come from, I think he played in like maybe second division in Mexico. And then over the years, you know,
Oops.
we've had players that have come out here like Roy O'Donovan,
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Matt Derbyshire, like these guys who have played in the championship in League One.
Yeah.
And I think that's the blueprint, is to go after those kind of players. And like I said, like we sort of did that with players like Broish and Berisha back in 2012. They both came from Bundesliga B. They were in like the second division in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
They weren't exactly, you know, like names that set the house on fire when they came here. But players, I think that's the blueprint. They're the kind of like Moneyball kind of players that Zadkovic and the staff are going to have to look at.
Yes.
And having said that as well, I've always been a big advocate of a big marquee,
Oh, shit, yeah.
because I really don't feel like, I mean, I can guarantee you, like I know that Brisbane Roar have never done a big marquee thing, so they've never given it a chance, and and the other clubs haven't really done it properly. Sydney did with Del Piero,
Yeah, Del Piero has been my favorite.
and we
Of
saw
all
what
of those
happened.
big names.
Yeah, you saw every Sydney game, wherever they went, there were people there to watch Del Piero. And it was
Mind you, I did grow up with a poster of him on my wall, so it's probably a bit biased.
you wouldn't have been the only one, and that's the point. That's the point of a marquee signing like that, you know. So I and then even in his very brief stint with Melbourne Heart was David Villa. And you know, I think he even scored a couple of goals in those in that one or two games that he played, you know, like just instant impact. So I think players like that, I would really like to see Brisbane bring a big name player in, start the season with a big name player, a big membership drive, and I'd like to see Zadkovic really shore things up at the back. I think I've been rambling a bit here, but we've lost
That's
Aldred.
good.
You've got Neville coming back from an ACL and he's 35, 36. You've got Hingett and Corey Brown, who are both mid-30s.
34, yeah.
Yeah, like early to mid-30s. Tail ends of their careers, not the quickest. Burke Gilroy's only extended for a year. So I think there's probably going to have to be some big signings come in at the back, or at least some really good quality backup. Midfield, I don't know. Like, I think between you've got, I don't think players like Milijusic,
Yeah. No.
Zabala, Loftus, I think Lofthouse, I think these players are
Think
dead
that's
weight
done, yeah.
for me. I think you can build a team around O'Shea or, I think Berenguer can still play a role.
Oh yeah. I just feel like he's just underperformed at the moment, but he's still definitely got it in him because
Yeah.
you saw a few of those three balls that he puts and yeah, he's all class, so.
And we've even shown, you know, like we're bringing like Rojas in, even though he's a couple of years past it. Like those players with that extra little bit of quality can make a massive difference. So yeah, I don't really have any names off the top of my head that I
Yeah.
would like to see come in. Like I would just like to see some smart transfers for a change.
It's just something other than a junior.
Even like Brisbane even showed a few years ago, like with Aldred and Macaulay Gillespie, like
Yeah,
Gillespie was
Gillespie, yep.
both of them in Australian terms were nobodies. Aldred had, you know, a bit more of a solid career. Gillespie was young, but how good was Gillespie? You know, like
Yeah.
just absolute find. And so I think there are players out there. It's just I just really hope that Zadkovic and whoever he's got doing his scouting with him have got a good head on their shoulders and get a little bit of money out of the
Yeah,
club,
that's
out of
it.
that multi-billion dollar conglomerate that owns the club, you know.
Yeah, just need that little bit of fuel injection. Like, I mean, if they got a decent marquee, it's something they can use with their business as well. So I mean, it's a win-win for them.
Yeah, and yeah, just if we could be the first club in a long time who, you know, got a proper marquee in and did it properly,
Yeah.
it could really help. And I think that's the kind of thing that would help get like the normie market in Brisbane to come along
Yeah.
to games is, you know, a big name.
And I mean,
So,
like, MLS are still doing it.
oh
Like, they're
yeah.
still, like, it's not like it's, yeah, like, it's not like we're too good for it. Like, they're still doing it. And I feel like they're doing much, like, mind you, they got bigger population and whatnot, but I feel like they're in a better position than what we are at the moment.
Oh yeah.
But they're still focusing on getting those marquees,
I
like
think there's a lot that we can learn from the MLS because they're a more mature league than we are. But they've come from a similar kind of start, like with the whole franchise thing and but
and
yeah, like
being a sport that's not popular with adults watching,
yeah.
whereas it's still the most played sport in America as well,
But
so
see though teams like I'm pretty sure it was LAFC, you know, like admittedly they've got money from the likes of Magic Johnson, Tony Robbins, and Will Ferrell and et cetera behind them, but and YouTube. But they brought players in like that you think to yourself, like how did they get him? Like Carlos Vela.
yeah,
Like
that was like, and it's the sort of player that you wouldn't have said, like, You can understand when that's like someone like Messi or something, and they're just throwing the world at them. But yeah, players like that, you were sort of like, fuck, really? Like, awesome. Can we have
And
one of those sort of players in our squad,
exactly,
please?
exactly. Can we have one of those marquee players who's maybe 30, not
Yeah,
37?
that's it. Yeah.
Know, like,
If they're
yeah.
37, they've got to be Ronaldo. So.
But you look at, like I was saying, like you look at players like Valer and these guys, Zavada, who've come from decent levels. Like, surely there's got to be players slightly better than them that you can chuck a bit of coin at, you know? Well,
It's
look,
not like it's
we.
shit living here, is it? So
No,
it's
exactly.
pretty
And
easy to sell.
no, that's it. And you just got to look at the players who have come here and stayed here ever
Yeah.
since the A-League started.
Yep.
We
Fowler. Dwight York.
mentioned Roy O'Donovan before, you know, like he, I think he lives down in Sydney or Newcastle now. Jay
Yep.
O'Shea is now an Aussie.
Australian citizen.
Sounds like he's going to stay here. I would say Aldred probably wants to stay here in Australia if he's being honest. People
Yep.
come to this country and they fall in love with it here because it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Diamante, you
Yeah,
know, like
that's true. Yeah.
he's coaching at Melbourne City now. Like, you know, like, yeah. So anyway, look, mate, we've got about 5 minutes to go on our poverty free version of Zoom.
We
I think we should
may
just,
improve that in the new year too, so in
yeah,
the new
well,
season, I should say.
we want to let you guys know that we're gonna, in the off season, we're gonna look at ways that we can improve on everything that we've done over this first year. Whether that's some slightly better recording gear for the
That's yeah, that's
microphones and
on
stuff.
my a slightly better computer as well for me.
Yeah, we'll try and do some more video episodes and some more video content as well
Yeah,
on our
I think
YouTube channel.
content's going to be key next year. We'll sort of get out and about a bit more and into the community. So,
Yeah, we've talked about a couple of things. We're thinking that we're going to try and go down for your night round, and maybe do a couple of pods down there. So the interviews that we've got lined up so far, guys, we've got an ex-Brisbane Roar legend, and we can confirm for you tonight, we've got a current Brisbane Roar player lined up as well.
new.
So we'll be doing them hopefully over the next couple of weeks.
Yep. So
We'll make a
probably just
decision.
after all the football's finished,
Yep.
is what I've sort of discussed with them is, yeah, we'll wait until all of that sort of died down because a lot of them are still involved with games that are on. So I just is like, yeah, well, let's do it on the other side and make it a completely off-season thing. So
Yeah.
yeah.
So we're going to have a busy off season. Hopefully everyone at the club has a busy off season and pulls a couple of rabbits out of the hat. One thing that Sam and I do want to try and organize, and what we'll do is, like, if you're watching on YouTube, I'll put some details on the screen for our Instagram and for the Twitter as well. I'll update the Twitter and I'll let everyone know when Sam and I figure out a day that we're gonna organize a barbecue up in Brisbane.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be like an end of season get together, chat, chance for us to basically catch up with a couple of our mates, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then anyone else who has been listening to the pod and has enjoyed it, you'll be welcome to come along. We're going to put some sausages on. It'll be BYO. If you want to bring some extra food, like if you want to cook something different or you got any preferences, feel free. But we'll do some stags on bread. And more than likely, Sam, I'm thinking we'll probably do New Farm Park.
Yeah.
And we'll let everyone know in on the socials when we decide on doing that. Maybe after the weekend after the grand final or something.
Yeah, I think just after the grand final would be perfect.
And if anyone from the club is listening, we'll be sliding into your DMs and your emails. If there's anyone from the club who wants to come along, we'd love you to come along and be a part of that as well. It's just a little chance for us to say thank you to everyone for being with us on our first year. We've had heaps of awesome comments and encouragement, and yeah, just super stoked. And we just want to say thanks to everyone for that. So I've been waffling enough, mate. You got anything you want to say?
No, just yeah, excited that we're starting to see some of the ex-players and players interested in what we're doing. So yeah, I'm super stoked that we were able to get above one episode. And that, yeah, it's actually half decent to listen to. So I've not, yeah, I've not, I have been listening to it myself as well. So I've been critiquing it as well, enjoying the ums and ahs. Still, I was, yeah, that'll come with time, obviously. But yeah, no, thank you everyone for helping us out with everything, and yeah, just listening, really listening to us waffle.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot, everyone, for listening. If you've got any advice for us, besides telling us to stop saying so much, like you fuck off. If you've got any advice for us on things that you maybe want to see us doing on the show, or that you want to hear a bit more about, please leave comments on this YouTube video, or drop us an at on Twitter or on Instagram or whatever. But yeah, look, we've got a less than a minute to go, mate. So let's wrap it up. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the first season of Bridge City. Sam and I, super stoked that you guys have been with us from day one. And if you're only joining us now for episode 25, we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Peace.